All right. Is that working? Looks like it was on. Zoe, there we go. Praise the Lord. All right. Father, we just love you today. Give you praise. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that as we open your word, that you teach us what you have done, and you teach us what the kingdom of heaven is like, and you teach us what your word and your voice sounds like. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you today, Lord God, that as we study your word, we are made brand new in our spirit, in our minds are renewed, and we hear you and we begin to understand, hear your voice, and know what it is to hear the voice of the Lord. So we give you praise and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When we look at the scripture, we let the Word of God speak to us, all right? We let the Word of God speak to our hearts, because His Word transforms us, doesn't it? See, the Word of God teaches you. You may not understand, you may not pick up on everything, you know, that He's saying every time you open a verse of Scripture. But the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you how to hear the voice of God. A child hears his mother's voice. A child hears his father's voice. The voice of the parent is that voice that the child hears. When we read the Word of God, not just a verse at a time, not just a chapter at a time, but when we read the Word of God, it changes us because we hear His voice. We begin to understand what the voice of God sounds like. How are you going to do that? You are going to read His Word. You're going to read His Word and His voice. You will begin to hear Him. And when He speaks, you will begin to hear what He is saying. Now, He may be saying a story. He may be reciting Exodus, or He may be reciting in the voice of the prophet, maybe the prophet Haggai. Or the prophet Amos. He may be speaking through those prophets. He may be speaking through the Gospels. He may be speaking through the voice of Paul and the epistles, or James, or Peter. But He is the Holy Spirit, the living God, is speaking through these words. And when He speaks, you hear Him. And you begin to know what the voice of God sounds like. And so when you're reading His Word, you not only know what the Word sounds like in the Scripture, but you begin to hear His voice when He speaks to you in the silent times. When He begins to speak to you in silence, you recognize His voice. And you are not, we're not just talking about people who have been walking this walk for a long time. We talk about if you are just a young person. You remember the story of Samuel, that Samuel was given to Eli the priest to become, his mother basically donated him to the church. I mean, it's the only child, her only child, and Hannah gave him over to the Lord. And here he is in the house of Eli, and he's sleeping on the bed. He's a young kid. He's sleeping on the bed, and all of a sudden he hears the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord speaks to him, says, Samuel, Samuel. And he sits straight up in the bed, and he says, here am I, Lord. And so he runs in to Eli, thinking it was Eli calling him. And Eli says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. You must have been dreaming. This happened three times. The third time, Eli's old guy, he's finally figuring it out. And he says, oh, it must be the Lord speaking to the child. So he says, okay, next time you hear the voice, say, here am I, Lord. Your servant is hearing you. And then the Lord began to speak to Samuel as a young boy. The Lord began to speak to Samuel as a young boy. So God will begin to speak to you. God will begin to speak to you. Me? Why would he speak to me? Doesn't he speak to pastors? No, he speaks to everybody. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. He said he speaks to everybody. He does. Yes. He likes you. He's interested in you. He saved you. He didn't just save the pastor. He didn't just save the deacons and the people who read the Bible all the time. If you heard the gospel and he spoke to you and you said, yeah, I want to be saved, well, he's speaking to you. He wants to speak to you. So that's what we do, is we read the word so that we begin to hear the voice of God. Amen? Amen. Read the word so you can begin to hear the voice of God. And then he will speak to you and he will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33:3. The verse I was given back in back when I was 16 years old from a prophetess lady, her and her husband, there at the church I was going to back between King of Glory and and Emmanuel. And that verse, she came and she just delivered that verse to me at 16 years old. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you know not. And I did. And he did. And you know what? Anybody can read that verse. That's not a there's no scripture that's of any private interpretation, the scripture says. So if you read that verse and you say, I want that verse, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Lord, I'm calling unto you right now. Show me great and mighty things which I do not know. I'm 12 years old. I'm 30 years old. I'm 77 years old. Father, I thank you that you will show me great and mighty things which I do not know. Hallelujah. You receiving that right now? Amen. Walter, you receiving that right now? Amen. You know, there's nothing you've done that prevents God from talking to you. That's right. Well, yeah, I've done some bad things. Well, stop that. Did you receive Jesus? Did you receive his forgiveness like Jackie was talking about this morning? Did you receive his forgiveness this morning? Receive his forgiveness right now. Receive his forgiveness right now. And he's going to show you a great and mighty thing. Great and mighty things which you do not know. Well, I've done too many bad things. You have not. You don't know me. No, I don't need to know you. All I need to know is that if you receive the sacrifice of Jesus, you are totally forgiven of all of your sins. From the very beginning to the very end of your life. And you, every day you just receive that forgiveness. Amen? Just receive it. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's look over at 1 Corinthians. That was just all free. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is the Apostle Paul talking in his letter to the Corinthians. And that church is like a suburban church, you know. It's a church in a big city, and they just do things the way they want to do them sometimes, you know. Church, you know, you get when the pastor's away, the mice will play, you know. And they, well, we didn't like what he preached last time, so we're going to do it our way. So he's answering questions for them for the most part in this chapter. You know, the fifth chapter, you know, he talked about how they were getting drunk at communion, you know, back in chapter 11. And chapter 5, he talked about how some guy was with his father's wife, you know. He said, no, you can't do that. Now here, he's talking about the resurrection. And there are people who are disputing the resurrection. Of course, we know that, or you may know, that the groups of Jewish leaders of those groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees were kind of a kind of the high muckety mucks in the temple. And they did not believe in the resurrection of the body. They did not believe there was going to be a bodily resurrection. And so I guess they just believed in being good and until you're dead. And if there's no bodily resurrection, then, you know, I don't know what you do afterwards at the end of the age. But here in chapter 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the whole gospel which I preached to you, which you have also received and wherein you stand, by the which you are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen of Cephas," which is Peter, "then of the 12, and after that He was seen of more than 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to this present day, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, He was also seen of James, His brother, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me, also as one born out of due time." Because he really didn't, because, you know, of course, Paul didn't see him bodily. So Paul saw him in a vision that Jesus appeared to him out there on the road to Damascus. So if Paul saw him, he didn't know him. If he saw him, he saw him at a distance. So he was aware of him, but he had not known him, Jesus, personally. And certainly not in a good context. And he was seen of me. So Paul saw him on the road to Damascus, where the Lord stopped him, for he was sent to persecute the church. Had letters from the Pharisees and Sadducees, from the Sanhedrin, to come and arrest Christians and put them in prison and hurt them and abuse them, and to stop them from preaching the gospel. Verse 9 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. And yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." So Paul's preaching was by the grace of God. His teaching, I mean, he was gone to Arabia for 14 years. He's gone out in the desert for 3 years. To hear the voice of God, to be taught by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Because he knew the Word of God. Think about it, Paul was, though, he was full of the Word of God already. And then when God came to him out there on that road to Damascus, I believe the Holy Spirit touched the Word of God that was on the inside of him, and all of a sudden he knew what he never knew before. That the mystery of the gospel was given unto him from that hour. All of a sudden, the entirety of Scripture, you know, he's talked about it in other places in the Scripture, that he knew the Scripture upside down and sideways better than any of his peers. And when the Holy Spirit touched that word, he all of a sudden became the most knowledgeable man in the earth about the mystery of the gospel. So Paul knew it to be able to teach it. That's why the Holy Spirit touched him. That's all why the Holy Spirit called him. And he transformed him and changed him. So he took that word of God, he took him and he put that word of God on that revelation on the inside of him and began to use him. He says, I was not even eligible to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me, and it was not in vain. By the grace of God, you can look at your own life and you can say, well, what good am I? Or I'm pretty good. You could say that. Some people could say that. I'm pretty good. And Paul could say both. He'd say, well, I'm pretty good. But when you're touched by the Spirit of God and He shows you your sin, all of a sudden you're worthless. You have nothing to offer. And He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's true of you. By the grace of God, whatever you are, whatever you have, it belongs to Him. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. That's good. His grace has touched you and set you in a particular place. Right where you are, God is speaking to you. Are you ready? Can you hear it? He is speaking to you. Oh, I can't hear Him. Get quiet. Quit thinking about your sins. If you're born again, quit thinking about your sins. See, the enemy wants you to think about your sins and how you've failed God. Well, brother, that sounds right. Well, it may sound right, but it's not right. Because you are forgiven. And now the Holy Spirit is using you to declare His faithful forgiveness to the whole world. That's why you're here. Amen. So by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, we're missing Pastor Jim for a year this week. Had a big celebration. He went to heaven, and we had a big celebration. I think it was a year ago today, Dave. By the grace of God, we received. And now by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit's using you. Amen? You can't depend on people. You can't depend on mom and daddy forever. They're gone. You know? The United States can't bring back George Washington. Well, we only had George Washington. Well, you can't. All we got is you. All we have is you. All we have is you and the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why we rejoice, and that's why we give praise. You know, there are generations upon generations upon generations of believers in Christ Jesus over the last 2,000 years. And the gospel is still powerful today. The gospel of the kingdom is still powerful today because of you. Not because of anybody else. Well, because of John Hagee. No, it's because of Paul McLemore. You know, it's because of Colleen Stroud. Because of Tony Huddleston. The gospel of the kingdom. Don't look at yourself as inadequate. You look at yourself as fully supplied. Fully supplied. In Him we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Look at verse 12 in chapter 15. It says, now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how do some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? And so apparently there's some controversy there in the Corinthian church. And some of them say, well, I'm not sure about this resurrection thing. You know, it's a little out there. It's a little far-fetched. But Paul is going to describe to you what the resurrection of the dead looks like. And why it's necessary. So let's look in here. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then is our preaching in vain and your faith is in vain. Because if Jesus died for your sins and He did not rise again because He was undeserving of death and He did not overcome death, then you're still in your sins. So our faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus has to be that God raised Him from the dead. Verse 15, yea, and we are found then false witnesses, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead is not, if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. So if Jesus wasn't raised, you're still in your sins. You know, so let's just, I mean, we, this is not the, the gospel that is preached is that Jesus Christ delivered you out of the power of sin by his death and by his resurrection. His death is not enough. His resurrection is critical to the deliverance from sin. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, are they're perished too. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, talking about Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, talking about Jesus. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, bodily. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, this is Jesus, he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Bodily death. So he's talking about the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death, the death of the body. For he has put, verse 27, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. In other words, everything's under his feet except the Father. And when all things shall be subdued to him, to Jesus, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him, that is the Father, that puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, verse 29 is an interesting verse. He says, but what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Baptized for the dead? Well, didn't think we believed in that. If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? Well, Paul is not affirming baptism for the dead as much as he's making fun of the people who are claiming that there is no resurrection. Why are they baptizing people for the dead if the dead don't rise? Why would you bother? Right? So he's not really. So he's not actually affirming the baptism of the dead practice as much as he's giving them a hard time for following through on something that doesn't matter. That wouldn't matter if they didn't believe in the resurrection. Verse 30 says, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? Why would we allow ourselves to be persecuted in such a manner as we are? I mean, why don't we just go home? Just go home and take care of the kids and take care of the grandkids. Why do we do this kind of stuff? Why are we getting ourselves persecuted and getting ourselves in trouble? Verse 31 says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. So when he's saying he's in this particular scripture, you know, we use it, we kind of transfer it over to I die daily, talking about you and, you know, dying in your flesh. But this particular actual scripture is talking about the fact that he dies for the sake of the gospel. He's being persecuted for the sake of the gospel. He is suffering every day, not necessarily in his flesh because of sin, but in this context, because of the persecution of the gospel. Although it's all true that, you know, we die daily. But in this case, it's I die daily for that purpose. Verse 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead rise not? So I'm fighting, I'm out there, you know, being thrown to the lions. You know, we have various believers that are being thrown to the lions for the sake of the gospel. Why are we doing that if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. It's, you know, there's nothing to live for in the future. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Why is that scripture in there? So it says, you know, so many times we use various scriptures for various purposes. You know, be not deceived. Evil bad company corrupts good manners. You know, we think about, oh, well, just don't hang around. What he's talking about specifically here is don't hang around with people who have this same doctrine. It'll corrupt you. It'll corrupt your doctrine. So, well, you know, we kind of hang out and listen to the one side of it, and then we listen to the other side of it. You know, no, don't hang around with the people that say there's no resurrection. You'll begin to wonder about how many angels are on the head of a pin. Yeah, no. Here's the gospel. Paul talks about this regularly, is people who are teaching a different gospel, a different doctrine, don't hang around with them. Different doctrine than what is taught by Paul the Apostle. Don't hang around with that doctrine. Well, maybe it could be this, or maybe it could be that. No. Just go back to the scripture and worship the Lord and read the truth, and you'll be saved. All right, verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In other words, don't let those corrupt doctrines become a part of your meditation. But some will say, okay, verse 35, we're going to talk specifically about the mechanics of it. He says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You fool. That which you sow is not made alive except it die. So first of all, that body that's raised, first of all, has to die. First of all, it has to die. And that which you sow not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat, or of some other grain. But God gives it a body, and it is as it has pleased Him, and to every seed its own body. So we're talking about a seed. So resurrection talks about your body as a seed. Your body begins as a seed. It's planted in the ground. You put your body down under the ground. Well, what if we got cremated? God knows where you are. God knows where you are. Don't worry. Amen. I mean, what if a guy fell off in the ocean, got eaten by a shark? Well, God knows where you are. God knows where your body is. God knows where every particle, if He knows where every hair on your head is, He knows where every particle of dust is for your body. Amen. I mean, biblical tradition is to bury the body. You know, buried all the folks I've been burying their bodies. I know it's more expensive. But if you can't, afford it, all you can do is bury somebody. At least you get their box. At least you get the urn. You know, so you can do that. That'd be fine. Just you kind of know where it is. Don't throw away the box. Don't lose the box. Amen. You know where the box is. We know where Pastor Jim is. I know where my mom is. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. It's a seed. It's a seed. Just right now, your dead carcass, mom's dead carcass, is a seed. She believed in Jesus. Her body's a seed, whatever form that body's in. All right? All flesh is not the same flesh, verse 39, but there is one kind of flesh of men. That's the one we're talking about. Other flesh of beasts and of fishes and of birds, there's different kinds of flesh. There are also celestial bodies, bodies in the sky or on the earth, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is the other. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. That's an interesting comment. You know, you couldn't know that unless you looked at the James Webb telescope, could you? How another one star would differ from another star in heaven? How would you know that? How would Paul know that? How do stars that just look all the same up there, you know, from the distance? But all of a sudden, there's a different star of the sun, a different star of the moon, a different star of the, and a difference between all of the stars in heaven. You know, God throws little things in there. He throws little things in the scripture that all of a sudden, later down the road, we realize that, you know what? He just gave us a little gift that now we know, and we didn't know that 200 years ago, 500 years ago. But God puts things in. Nobody knew about whether the world was round or flat. You read the Bible and you found out it was round. The circle of the earth. Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So you have a natural body, but there is a spiritual body. Now, when we read about the resurrection of Jesus, we read that Jesus came to them in various ways after he was raised from the dead. He was raised, and then he visits, sees Mary, but she didn't recognize him. I mean, Mary had been around him for 3.5 years, but all of a sudden she didn't recognize him. When he had been raised from the dead, she didn't recognize him until he spoke. She thought, oh, he's the gardener. No, but he spoke to her. And she, Rabbi, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. So, all of a sudden, there's a difference. Then later in the day, he appears to the disciples later in the day. Here, we read a few minutes ago that he appeared to Cephas, to Peter. Well, we don't have any gospel record that he appeared to Peter independently of the first appearance with the disciples in the evening, all right? Or the very first incidence of Jesus' appearance after the graveside was to the two brethren who were going to the little town of Emmaus, and that Jesus joined himself to them, and as he joined himself to them, he described to them the entirety of the gospel and why that Christ had to suffer. And then he stopped and had dinner with them. And when he had dinner with them, he broke the bread, and all of a sudden they saw him for who he was. All of a sudden he became Jesus. And he vanished in front of their eyes. The moment they recognized him, he vanished, disappeared. Just whoosh. That's a spiritual body. That's a spiritual body. And then these guys get up, and of course it's already dark, you know. They were complaining that when they were going to pull off to the side of the road, oh, it's getting close to evening, let's stop and have dinner. But then they got up and they ran to Jerusalem, about 7 miles. They just ran to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden they're huffing and puffing, they get into the room, dun, 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 knock on the door, you know, hey guys, it's all the Lord. Who's knocking on the door? We don't, you know, they were closed up in the house because they were afraid. Because they were afraid that they were going to be arrested. because they were still looking for all these guys who believed in Jesus, who were telling the story. And so he comes into the, so they come in. And the moment they, oh, we saw the Lord. He appeared to us and he told us everything we ever did. And told us everything about the gospel. And all of a sudden Jesus, poop, he just appears right in front of them. That's a spiritual body. The doors were locked. He said the doors were locked. Said he couldn't come in, but he came in. That's a spiritual body. It's a different kind of a body. You're going to have one of those. You're going to have one of those, a spiritual body. Well, how does it work? Well, just like what he said. It comes and goes as it pleases. It's a spiritual body, isn't it? So there's a natural body. That's this one. And this one here is still, like this one here is still getting healed from his, from the wrist getting whacked in the car wreck, you know. See, this one goes like that, and this one goes about like that. So the other one doesn't quite, what'd you say? Yeah. So it didn't quite go as far. This is a natural body. The natural body doesn't work as well as the spiritual body in some cases. But I'm going to have a spiritual body. They're both going to be, everything will work right, won't it? Everything's going to work. Monty! Dr. Monty, is everything going to work right? Is Norman's leg going to work right? Praise the Lord. We're going to pray for Norman here today on his knee before we go. Get his knee back in shape so he can run. Verse 45 says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, as Jesus, was made a living spirit. Isn't this a good chapter? All kinds of good information in here. You know, if you read the Bible, you get good information. If you read other things, you get bad information. You read the Bible, you get good information. You should read the Bible. Verse 46 says, however, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that was his name, which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. So natural is first, spiritual second. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are also they that are earthy. That's us. And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. That's him. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How many of us are going to be changed? All of us. We shall all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, when that happens, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Oh, that's what that means. Death is swallowed up in victory. Isaiah 25. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, I like that. Isn't that good for death to be swallowed up in victory? You know, it already started. It already started from your heart. Amen. It already started from your heart. Boy, it's a crazy sermon. Talking about getting raised from the dead. Amen. That's your destiny. Is to be raised from the dead. You know, you don't just die and go into the dirt. You die and you go into the presence of the Lord. And then you get a brand new body. Amen. Some people believe in soul sleeping. Your soul's going to sleep. Your body's sleeping. Your soul's sleeping. Some other scriptures kind of indicate that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Whichever one you like. you want to be awake for another few years, if in your spirit, or if you're going to sleep for a few more years in your spirit and just and waiting for Jesus to come, either one, that'd be fine. I won't disassociate with you. Praise the Lord. I just know that at the last day, at the last trump, what's going to happen is the dead in Christ are going to rise. And then those of us who are alive and remain. If you're still here, you will be changed. If you're already gone, you'll be raised. And you'll be given a brand new body. Hallelujah. You'll be given a brand new body, Walter. It'll be great. Norman, it'll be great. Amen. So death is swallowed up in victory. Woo! Oh, death, verse 55, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Hosea 13. So he's quoting a bunch of Old Testament scriptures as to how the resurrection is how resurrection defeats death. Resurrection defeats death. And so he's already been talking about how, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? He says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I want you to turn quickly over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. Here's Paul again, talking to the Thessalonian church. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, means those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. See, you have a hope. Amen. And you have even hope for the people that you miss. You know, I have hope for my mom and my stepdad and for Norma and my biological dad, all four of those people. I had to do estates for four people in 2 years. That's too much. Yeah. Amen. Pastor Jim, I'm going to see him again. I love him. I'm going to see him again soon. We're not like those who don't have any hope. Well, I'm not sure that all that's going to happen. No. I'm fully convinced. You know what I'm not fully convinced of? Listen, I'm not fully convinced of my doubt. My doubt wants to come up and have a pity party or have some kind of a means of discounting the Word of God. See, if I have a thought that discounts the Word of God, I discount that thought. Okay?
Yeah,
if I have a thought that discounts the Word of God, that says the Word of God is not true, I discount that thought.
Yeah.
I said, no, it's not true. God's let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Every man's thought is a lie. It's not true. The devil's the father. He said, you guys, Jesus told all the Jewish leaders, says, you guys are the sons of the devil, and your father's a liar, and you're the sons of a liar. Amen. Your father is the devil. So he says, you're not like those that have no hope. Are you? Is that true of you? You're not like those that have no hope, are you, Dave? You're not like those. Dave, there's five Daves in here. I should hear a chorus. Amen. You know. You're not like those that have no hope.
Amen.
Are you? Are you?
No. Well,
you know, like Clint Eastwood. Well, are you? You're not. I got tons of hope. I'm a hoper. Amen. Are you a hoper? Not hoping and praying and wishing it was so, but my hope is steadfast. My hope is steadfast. You can't talk me out of it. You can't take it away from me. And if I hear something that's discounting it, I say, no, that's not true. If I hear something from my own head that says that, I say, no, that's not true. Well, what do I do with that? What do I do with that thought? Kick it out. He says, casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Vain imaginations are thoughts that come against the promises and the testimony of the Word of God. That's a vain imagination. That is a lie which will destroy you and try to take your faith from you. And you say, no, you can't have it. Can't have my faith. I'm born from above. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. I'm not as those who have no hope. Verse 14 of chapter 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede. The word prevent there is actually means is needs to be translated precede them which are asleep. I'm going to read that again. We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead who are in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. That's the promise. That's the promise. Then in the same breath, you could be telling people how we're flying to the moon. You know what? This is more true than that. Amen? This is more true than that. It's more true than anything that is. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus. God himself made the heavens and the earth. God himself designed your body to be a spiritual body, resurrected, and to live with him for eternity. Amen. This is just part of what it is to live in the kingdom of God. And we don't preach about it a lot. We need to preach about it more probably. Because you need to preach about what's happening in the, you want to preach about what's happening in the future, not just what's happening. Oh my goodness, it's going to be the Antichrist. Well, what happens after that? Resurrection. And you're living in heaven forever, living in heaven with the Father forever. Not too long from now. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. They've been preaching that for years. Well, it's still coming. You know how I know it's still coming? Because it hadn't happened yet. Amen. It's still coming. Father, we love you. Thank you for this word, message of hope, message of encouragement, that the resurrection of the body is the truth of the gospel, that we are in him and he is in us, and that as we walk with him and hear his voice, that day comes which we will be raised from the dead, or we shall be changed when Jesus comes to take his bride away. So, Father, we thank you that the way and the means by which that resurrection takes place is to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, and that our sins are forgiven, and that he comes to live in us by the Holy Spirit and transform us daily into that same image from glory to glory. We don't save ourselves. We don't cause ourselves to become righteous. He does. And as he walks with us and we walk with him and we hear his voice and we read his word, we are changed from one degree of glory to the next. So, Father, we thank you right now that we can say today, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin and he rose again from the dead. And you said that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So we call upon his name, him who died for me, that I am born again, that I am asking you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. And you said whoever asks for the Holy Spirit receives. So I receive the Holy Spirit today. And it's only by faith, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. So we give you glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. If you know the Lord Jesus, we invite you to participate.